Hi, this is Craig Hirsch, and welcome to the Family Estate and Legacy Program podcast. This podcast is intended to be listened to before your first meeting with us, with your legal team. You're going to embark on the Family Estate and Legacy Program, which is a 7-step series designed to provide you comfort and clarity and confidence when creating, designing, and implementing your estate plan. So what does the second step consist of? What is the goal and responsibility conversation step? In this step, we're going to ask you why you're here. Do you need to update your plan? Has it been many, many years since you've updated your estate plan? Are you a new resident to Florida? Is it time to update because you haven't updated since some major changes in your family have occurred? Or perhaps your financial condition has changed? So this is something that we're going to want to hear from you and what your goals are. And primarily, what are your concerns? You know, based on those goals, are there any obstacles that may stand in the way between you and those goals? We'll also discuss opportunities with you. A lot of times people don't think of estate planning as an opportunity, but oftentimes there are opportunities for maybe tax savings for the family. It could be income tax savings. It might be gift tax savings. Could be estate tax savings. There might be some methods that would put your mind at ease. You know, maybe you're worried about one of your children who has some financial difficulties and you want to make some gifts to that child, and you're not exactly sure how to do that without jeopardizing the gift to creditors or divorcing spouses or things of that nature. So in the goals and responsibility conversation, we want to hear why you're there and what your worries are. Now, once we hear that, we also want to talk to you about who you want to name in certain offices. For example, when you have a revocable trust, you're going to be the grantor of the trust, which is the person who creates the trust, and you'll also usually be, initially at least, the trustee. The trustee is not a beneficiary of the trust so much as the trustee is the person responsible for carrying out the terms of the trust. In revocable living trusts, your assets are yours for your lifetime. So you're both the grantor of the trust, you're the trustee of the trust, and you're also the beneficiary of the trust. But if you should one day become disabled, now you can't act as your own trustee. You need somebody else to manage the investments and properties, to write your checks and pay your bills, to file tax returns. So we need to name a successor. And we want you to think about who that successor trustee will be. Conveniently, I've written a book, Selecting Your Successor Trustee, that we can give to you that you should read. It goes through all of the various possibilities. You can name your spouse, you can name adult children, you can name corporate trustees. And that's a little bit too much detail to go into in a short podcast. We encourage you to read the book as it will give you insight as to what the possibilities are. Let me give you an example. When you, let's say, become incapacitated, or let's say you pass away, and you want to name your spouse as your successor trustee, well, he or she may not be equipped to deal with all the responsibilities surrounding your trust at that time. They may be grieving, probably will be grieving. And when we're grieving, we're not able to think as clearly as we normally could in most normal situations. You know, manage the investments, watch the stock market, deal with your broker, deal with your attorney, talk to your investment advisor. All of those things are things that you take for granted. They're second nature to you, but you have to consider whether they're also second nature to your spouse. So naming the successor trustee, you know, maybe giving your spouse or adult child some help by naming a co-trustee, that's always a possibility, naming a trust company. And again, the book goes into that in much greater detail. In addition to who you're going to name as trustee, you need to consider who you're going to name to act as your durable power of attorney. That's a document that allows somebody to, again, manage investments, write checks, pay bills, and do those sorts of things for you if you can't do so for yourself. The durable power of attorney does cease at your death. What the durable describes is that the power of attorney is still effective during your incapacity. Now, when you have a revocable trust, you may wonder why you also need a durable power of attorney. And the reason is because the trust will manage those assets that the trust owns, and that's typically your real estate, could be commercial properties, could be closely held businesses, might be investment accounts. Your durable power of attorney, in contrast, could manage assets that the trust doesn't hold or doesn't own. Examples of that might be individual retirement accounts, pension accounts, annuities, life insurance policies. So it's important to have both documents. And typically, you'll name the same person both as the power of attorney as well as the successor trustee. Now, there's another office that we're going to want you to consider, and that's who's going to make healthcare decisions for you if you can't do so for yourself. And then finally, you're going to have a living will document. That's the right to die document. If two doctors have agreed that the artificial means are only prolonging the process of dying and that you're not going to recover, then this is your direction, whether you want food and water tubes removed, whether you want the heart and lung machine to continue. And you'll need a surrogate on that document, who is also typically your healthcare surrogate, to consent to these actions. So you have trustees, you have durable powers of attorney, you have healthcare surrogates, and you have living wills. So before the meeting, if you can think about the parties that you'd like to name in those offices, and also you might want to think about alternates in case the person that you've named is not available. If you have close relationships with banks, trust companies, or investment advisors, now's the time to talk to Gate whether naming the bank, trust company, or investment firm as a trustee or as a co-trustee. Now's the time to do that with those parties so that when you sit down and talk to us, you might have an idea who you may want to put in those drafts. So that's going to be the goals and responsibility conversation. We hope that this podcast prepares you for it and has provided you some confidence and clarity. We look forward to meeting you soon.